Good morning, y'all. I'd like to welcome everyone to Wigham Baptist Church for our worship service this morning. Just a few announcements, and then we'll open up our church service with prayer. Church council meeting today here at the church at 4 p.m. I'd like to encourage you to please be here as we set some dates and plan for this year. Church events and things like that. So that's 4 o'clock today, this afternoon. We currently have $1,429 to the Lottie Moon offering. We're still accepting the gifts for that. They are envelopes and all in the pew still. So if you still feel led to give to that, please give to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. Let's see here. Any other announcements, y'all?
Men's ministry.
Okay, yeah.
Thursday night, pancake supper.
Yeah, that's the 18th. Stand in the Gap Men's Ministry at 7 o'clock here at the church.
This month's getting away.
It is. Pancake supper. So please come at 7 o'clock and be here, men and young men, at 7 p.m. when we're going to have breakfast for supper.
And the 22nd.
And the 22nd is the Titus II Women's. That's Monday, January 22nd, is the Titus II Women's Ministry at 6:30 p.m. here at the church. So please remember that. And ladies and young ladies, please remember that and come and support that ministry. Okay. Any other announcements? Good. Any birthdays?
Kim.
Oh, okay. Any other birthdays?
Kim, you can do this.
Happy birthday, Kim.
Thank you.
Let's sing happy birthday to Kim.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
Tell him I told you you could do it.
Yeah, I could have done that. Now you have throwing me off track here. Prayer. We want to continue to remember the Ed Marshall family and his family. He passed away last week, I believe. Remember them, and also Brother Tim shared with me the Tracy Urity family. We had Tracy on the prayer list. She passed away too. So we want to remember those, if you will. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful, Lord, for the opportunity to gather here and worship our Lord Jesus Christ today, Lord. And Lord, we just want to take this special time to lift up the Marshall family and the Urity family to you, Lord, and the loss of their loved ones, Lord. We just pray, Lord, that you'll continue to comfort those families and guide those families as they go through this time of grief, Lord. But Lord, we also just want to lift up Brother Tim to you today, Lord, and lift up this entire worship service, Lord, from our praising and singing, Lord, to the preaching, Lord, and the message being given, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that we have come today, as we even talked about in Sunday school with Noah, Lord. He gave his best, Lord, when he got off the ark, Lord. He sacrificed some of the clean animals, Lord, as a worship service, Lord, to you. And I just pray, Lord, that we will have it in our hearts, Lord, to focus and worship on you today. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay. All right, our call to worship hymn this morning is Heavenly Sunlight. If you can, please stand as we sing all three verses of hymn 424, Heavenly Sunlight.
425.
I'm sorry. 425. He keeps me singing. I mean, where my mind's at? 425.
Just to rest upon His promise, just to know the sin. lives. Thank you for bringing us, Brother Tim, who's teaching us your word today. Give him what you want us to know. Take now this portion we give to you in furtherance of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Sunday, being the first Sunday in January, we began a series that I have titled Start, S-T-A-R-T. And last Sunday morning, we looked at Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19. I want to go ahead and read those for you this morning as we start out, because this is the basis or the foundation of these messages on starting over. Isaiah writes here that the Lord said, "Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." We said last Sunday morning, we looked at the letter S, and we said that if we're going to make a new start in life, we have to stop blaming others. Again, number one reason we fail is because we don't take responsibility for our actions, and most everybody wants to be a victim. Can I tell you, not everybody's a victim. But Christ wants us to be a victor. He doesn't want us living in our past, because if we were honest with ourselves, we would tell ourselves and tell everyone else around us that most of the problems in my life were not caused by somebody else. They were caused because of choices I made. Amen? And so I need to stop blaming others for my life. Now, granted, there are bad things that happen to people. I understand that. But you can choose how you let that affect you. You can choose to look at Christ. You can choose to move forward in life, or you can always look to your past and stay in your past. But I believe God wants us to realize, Jesus wants us to realize, that your past is gone. There's nothing you can do about your past, but you can do something about today, and you can do something about tomorrow. And God wants to do something new in our lives, so we need to turn loose of yesterday. We need to turn loose of the people who might have brought us those heartaches and heartbreaks and everything else. And we need to move forward, trusting Christ along the way. Sunday night, we talked about taking inventory of our lives. When everything is gone, who do we have left? We looked at Job chapter 1 and 2. We didn't read the whole chapters, but we looked at those, and in about a minute's time, Job lost everything materially that he had here on earth. And yet he could still say, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." In chapter 2, verse 10, he says, even after his wife tells him to curse God and die, because Satan put boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. There was nowhere he could turn, nowhere he could sit, nowhere he could stand, that he was not in severe pain. And his wife says, "Just curse God and die." And he says, "You know, you're a foolish woman. Why should we accept good from God and not also accept adversity from him?" You see, we have to take inventory. When everything in Job's life was taken from him, he had to take inventory of his life to realize that even though everything he had was gone, he still had God. And as long as he still had God, he had everything he needed to move forward. Amen? Sometimes we have a bad hair day or a bad nail day or a bad burnt toast or whatever we have, and it just ruins our whole day. But we need to look at what we do have. We need to count our blessings and see what we have and move forward. Today we're going to speak on act in faith. That is the A in start. Act in faith. You know, we talk a lot about faith in church, right? Can I tell you that if you have a faith that does not move your heart, your mouth, your feet, your hands, your faith is no good. Because if you say you believe something, if you say you believe in something, it should affect everything about you. It should affect your mind. It should affect your heart. And if it affects your mind and heart, then it should affect our hands and our feet as well. We should see people with the eyes of Christ. We should speak to people with the mouth of Christ. We should love people with the heart of Christ. But we should also serve compassionately to those who are in need. Well, as we look at these verses, we realize, and I'm going to skip that Hebrews verse for now, but the letter A, act in faith. If we're going to get a new start in life, we have to act in faith. You've probably heard this illustration. I'm going to use it anyhow. There was a tightrope walker who walked across from on a rope from one of the tall buildings in New York City to another tall building. And he went across it and came back. Well, he had this one guy who just admired this tightrope walker. Well, one day he decided that he was going to tightrope walk across Niagara Falls. And as he gets ready, the crowd's cheering him on, and he asked him, do they think he can make it across and back with nothing but a balancing stick? And the crowd goes, "Wow, yeah, we think you can do it." And so he does. He goes across and comes back. And then he asks the question to the crowd, "Do you think I can go across the rope, Niagara Falls, on this rope, pushing a wheelbarrow?" And everybody kind of got quiet. And one guy, his admirer, hollers out, "I know you can do it. I know you can do it." So the tightrope walker, he goes across Niagara Falls, gets to the other side, pushing the wheelbarrow, and he comes back, and he says, "Okay, now, how many of you think I can make it across and back pushing somebody in the wheelbarrow?" He got deathly quiet, but his admirer says, "I believe you can do it. I know you can do it." He said, "Good, I want you to get in a wheelbarrow." You see, that's a poignant question, though. That's a statement. Because here's the thing. Many of us say we believe, we know that God can change my life. We believe that God can change your life. But when it's time to get in the wheelbarrow, guess what? Most of us are not willing to get in the wheelbarrow. We don't want to put our hands and our feet and our lives in the hands of, we want him to save us, amen? But we don't want him pushing us around here on this earth. We don't want him guiding us and directing us, even though, even our Sunday school lesson, if y'all ain't in Sunday school, get in Sunday school, amen? But here's the thing. Just like that ark was guided by God during the flood, Jesus wants to do that same thing with your life and mine. He wants us to be saved. He wants us to say, when he says go, we say where? And he says, I want you to go over here or say this or preach this or teach this or serve here and serve there. That we're not just saying, well, you know, I just can't do it. We say we believe. We say we know he can, but are we willing to put our lives in his hands and trust him every step of the way? Well, as we look at this, we realize what, in the English vocabulary, what is the word faith? What would we call that? Is it a noun? Is it what? It's a verb. Why is it a verb?
It's an action.
It's an action word. And so to say that I have faith means that you have to have actions too, because if you say you have faith and don't have actions, you're not telling the truth. Amen? You see, our actions should line up with our faith. But here's the thing. If God wants to do something new in your life today, tomorrow, and you say, well, I believe God, I have faith. But if he tells us to do something new and we won't do it, are we really expressing faith? Are we showing faith? And the answer is no, we're not. I want us to think about this for just a moment. How many of you remember the story of Abram? In the Bible, we call him Abraham, right? But when he started out, before God changed his name, it was Abram. Now, Abram's story and mine are kind of alike, but different kind of alike. When I felt called into the ministry and I didn't know what to do, I went and talked to a friend of mine, a youth pastor, and he made this statement that really stuck with me. But he said, because I had a wife, two kids, Errol was coming at the time, I'm like, man, what do I do? Do I go to college? Do I move, go out there to Graceville? Or do I stay here and take online classes? Because online classes back then were just getting started, you know? And so he said, Tim, he said, let me tell you, he said, you'll never know what true faith is until you leave everything behind and have to trust God every step of the way. That's what God told Abram, right? God told Abram, he said, listen, Abraham, I want you to leave your mama, your daddy, your sisters, your cousins, and every farmland, and everything. I want you to leave it all, and I want you to pack up, and I want you to just start walking. And when you get to where I want you to go, I'll tell you to stop walking. Now, how many of us would look at God and say, God, I believe you, I have faith in you, but I can't do that? But don't we do God that way every day? God lays something on our heart. God puts somebody on our hearts to pray for them. And we say, well, you know, I just don't have time today, Lord. They don't want me to mess with them, you know. They're kind of private people, and so, I'm just going to mind my own business. God's saying, listen, you need to step out in faith and do what I'm asking you to do. I have a reason I'm asking you to do what I'm asking you to do. If you say you believe me and trust me, then act like you do. Well, if we want to change in our life, we have to act in faith. If there's any area of your life that you want changed, you have to believe. You have to have faith. If you want your circumstances to change, you're going to have faith that God can and that God will. If you want your personality to change, because some of us know we're a stick in the mud, amen? And so sometimes we know that there's something in me, there's something that's going on in my life that I need God to help me change. But I've got to have faith that He can and that He will. If I need mountains moved in my life, and I'm not talking about the Blue Ridge Mountain or the Appalachian Mountains or the Smoky Mountains, I'm talking about personal problems, amen? If I need mountains moved in my life, I have to have faith, because the Bible says if I have faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, then I can move mountains. Not literal, but spiritual, physical problems in my life. It takes faith. If there is any area in my life that I need change, I need to have faith that God can and that God will. Matthew chapter 9, verses 28 and 29. That this is the man who comes to Jesus, and he asks Jesus to heal his son. And so, listen to what Jesus says. It says, when he had come into the house, a blind man came to him, and Jesus said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? And they said, yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be to you. What I want to focus on is there at the end of verse 29. According to your what? According to your faith, and I'm going to paraphrase this, according to your faith, let it be done to you. That means that what I expect to get out of life, I'm going to get. Does that make sense? If I expect a closer walk with the Lord this year, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to have a close walk. Because why? Because I'm going to do things in my life that show I have faith, that show I want to grow closer and have a closer walk with the Lord. Then I'm not going to keep doing the things that cause destruction in my life. I'm going to make choices and decisions that's going to lead me closer to Him. According to your faith, let it be done to you. We get out of life pretty much what we expect. But it takes faith. But what are we expecting in life? What are you expecting? What are you expecting this year? What are you expecting in your relationship with the Lord? What are you expecting in your family? Your finances? Your church? Are things going to get better or worse? Because here's another problem. We often have in our hearts and minds what we want things to, how that we want them to go, things we want to do. But oftentimes we find ourselves in doubt. Now James says, is it not on the board? James tells us that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, right? But we need to have faith, and we need to have a consistent faith in the Lord. We need to act in faith in all of our ways. Not a dead faith that doesn't do anything, because James here again tells us that faith without works is dead, right? But we don't need to have a hope-so faith. We need to have a no-so faith. Because here's the problem many church folks have. And this is you, I want to talk to you. You ask somebody, you know if you're going to go to heaven when you die. You want number one answer. Guess what it is?
I hope so.
Hmm. God doesn't want you to have hope, so faith. If you'll read 1 John chapter 5, you'll realize, I think verse 13, that God has written these things so that you may know you have eternal life. God wants you to know. He doesn't want you to hope. He wants you to know. Because if you just hope, they say, well, I hope I win the lottery. Is that going to change anything in your life? I don't play the lottery, y'all. Y'all don't look at me that way. You see what I mean? Hopes, they don't change anything. If you only have hope, so faith, you're going through life missing the point of why God saved you. God wants you to know. Because somebody who hopes they're saved ain't going to share their faith with nobody else. You know why? Because they don't know if they're saved or not. Do you know why God wants you to know you're saved? So that you'll be the witness he's called you to be. He doesn't. Satan's the one who wants you to have a hope, so faith. God wants you to have a know, so faith. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt when I drop dead, whether it's here in my car or in my home, I am going to meet Jesus face to face and live with him forever. That's the hope all of us should have. That I know. I'm expecting it. And so that's the kind of faith we need to have. That God, I want to know you. I want you to be in everything I do, everything I say, every thought that I have in my heart. Everything we are should be in him. That is affirmative faith. Think about this. We're not going to read these chapters. I'm just using them for reference. Numbers chapter 13 and 14. God has led the Israelites out of Egypt. They're wandering across the wilderness, and they get to where God wants them to go. Amen. And so Lord instructs Moses to take 12 spies and go spy out the promised land, Canaan, right? And so these 12 people go across and they begin searching, and they get these big old grapes that no whole cluster would have to be carried on a pole between two grown men. Oh, that's a big old bunch of grapes, amen? But they go through this land, and so they come back after 40 days, and they begin to give Moses the report. 10 of them agree. It is a land flowing with milk and honey. And to see the grapes and everything else. But they begin to say, we cannot take the land. Why? Because there are giants in this land. There are giants. They're descendants of Anak. And these are great men. And we think that we look like grasshoppers in their sight. And we look like grasshoppers in our own sight compared to them. We can't do it. Caleb and Joshua said we can. That if God wants us to take this land, then we need to, and I'm paraphrasing, we need to act in faith and move forward. We can take this land because God is the one who's going to give it to us. Well, the people begin to rebel because they don't always listen to the person of faith. They want to listen to the people who think the way they do. Amen? And so because of that, the people rebelled and wanted to go back to Egypt. And so God said, okay, we're going to put an end to this. Because of your rebellion, everyone 20 years of age and above is going to perish in the wilderness. You are not going to enter the promised land except for Joshua and Caleb. Those two are going to go in, but everybody else is going to perish out in the wilderness. That's over 20 years old. Why did they not enter the promised land? Number one reason, why did they not enter the promised land? They doubted God. They did not have faith. And their faith kept them from moving. They had already seen what God had done. God had done something new in their lives. right? He's made rivers in the deserts and highways through the wilderness for them. He's showed them the way. He's led them out. He's done great and mighty things, and yet they still don't believe. You say, if God would just do something big in my life, I'd trust him. No, you wouldn't. God's already done enough in your life to show you that he loves you and he cares for you and he wants to lead you and guide you. You just need to say, okay, God, I'm going to get in the wheelbarrow, let you be my driver. I remember growing up, there's a license plate. Y'all remember? You put it on the front of the car, it said what? God is my co-pilot. Man, that's from Satan himself. God ain't your co-pilot. God is your pilot. He better be, because you need to get out of the seat if you think you're driving yourself. God should be in control of our lives. We need to be following him, trusting him. I'm going to ask you, if you will, if you got your Bible this morning, look at Hebrews chapter 11. Man, we're going to find something. We're going to find a whole chapter. We're not going to read the whole thing. Hebrews chapter 11. I want us to look at this. Because in each one of these situations, we'll find two words. The two words that begin most of the sentences in Hebrews chapter 11 say, by faith. And then that verse or verses will give a person's name. And then it'll tell us something new that God did in them and through them if they would simply follow. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6, that's the verse I want to start with this morning. But without faith, you can please God. Is that what your Bible says?
No.
But without faith, it is impossible. How can you and I please God if we don't believe it? I can't, and you can't. Without faith, it is impossible to please him, to please God. For he, you and me, who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Look up here to verse 2. Verse 2 says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Let's go on now. By faith, Abel offered to God an offering which was better than his brothers. I'm paraphrasing some of these, by verse 5. By faith, Enoch. Enoch walked with God, and God did what? Took him on into heaven, right? Let's read on now. Verse 8, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Let's read on down. Verse 11, by faith, Sarah. Look down at verse 17, by faith, Abraham. Verse 21, or 20, by faith, Isaac. By 21, by faith, Jacob. By faith, Joseph. By faith, Moses. By faith, Moses. By faith, verse 29, they passed through the Red Sea. Verse 30, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. You get the point. By faith, God did something new in every single one of these people's lives. It is that way from Genesis all the way through Revelation. By faith, God moves mountains. By faith, God moves in you and I. But if we don't have faith, how can God do something new in us? You see, we have to be willing to turn loose ourselves and let God do his work in us and through us. In Genesis chapter 12, I mentioned this about Abram a while ago, but this is where that passage is found in Genesis. It says, now the Lord had said, Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. In other words, listen here. God didn't tell Abram, okay, I'm going to. We use Google Maps today. How many of y'all got Google Maps on your phone or in your car? You know, you don't have to look at a map anymore. Not necessarily not a paper map. You just pull it up and it's there. It shows you your whole route. Right? Every turn, every twist, your final destination. Abram didn't have that. He didn't have that. He said, just, God said, just keep going till I show you. Keep going till I show you. Verse 2, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Ooh, boy, isn't that good. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. You see, God was doing something new in Abram's life, because if you go back and look at Abram's life, they were a bunch of pagans. They were a bunch of lost people. And God was wanting to do something new in him and through him so that all nations on earth could be blessed. Do you know what, God? God wants you to be a blessing to others. He wants you and I to be a blessing to others. He wants us to be obedient, because when we are obedient, it will bring blessings to us. When we are disobedient to him, it brings consequence. Just like those Israelites who died in the wilderness. They didn't believe. They didn't trust God. And so the consequences of their sin was their destruction. What we need to do as we go forward is to act in faith. We need to believe God. We need to trust God that if God has called us to do something, he will provide everything you need to accomplish it. We just have to trust him. You say, well, I'm not educated enough. God can take care of that. If God can make a donkey speak, he can surely use you and I. Amen? You see, we need to learn from our past. We need to act in faith for our future, looking to God for our guidance. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 tells us that faith is the victory that overcomes what? The world. Faith is the victory. We sing the song, we don't even know where it's at in the Bible. Amen. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. So here's the problem. If I have an issue in this world, if I have a problem in my life, if I have a problem in my family, if I have a problem with my children, if I have a problem with my job or anything else in life, guess who I need to turn to? I need to turn to God in faith, because it is faith that overcomes all the obstacles the world throws at you, all the obstacles that Satan throws at you. Is faith in God that overcomes those things. It gives us a new start. It helps us to remember what God has done in the past, but look forward to what he's going to do in the future. I don't need to be in fear. Because isn't that what stops most of us from acting on what God wants us to do? We're afraid. Amen. If you don't know where you're going, you should be afraid. If you don't know where you're going when you die, you should be afraid. Amen. If you don't know where you're going in life, you should be afraid. But there's another part of being afraid, and that's being afraid of failing. We're often scared because we think we're going to mess it up. Say the wrong thing, do the wrong thing. But you know what? When we have faith in God that he will help us overcome, he will get us through those times. And here's the thing. If I never make a mistake, that means I'm not trying. Have I messed up before in my life? Sure. I'm probably going to mess up today or tomorrow. But the fact is, I shouldn't let fear of failure keep me from serving God today and tomorrow and into the future. I need to trust Him that even though I make a mistake, you know what? God already knew I was going to make it before I did. He knew I was already going to mess up, but He said, listen, trust me. Believe me, I have a plan and purpose for your life, and I want you to trust me in this and follow my direction. Sometimes we're afraid of people. This is what Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25 says. It says the fear of man brings a snare. What is a snare? It's a trap. Remember those strings you tie up with a stick and pull it down and try to put bird seed or something in there and catch a bird? That's a snare, it's a trap. The fear of man brings a snare, a trap, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be what?
Who?
Why do I have to be afraid of people? I don't have to be afraid of them. If we want to change in our life, if we want something new in our life this year, we've got to quit making excuses. We need to stop making excuses. We need to take inventory of our life, but we also need to act in faith. The reality is, my prayer is that everyone here today is already in the wheelbarrow with the Lord as far as salvation. But if you don't know if you're saved or not, you don't know that you're in the wheelbarrow with the Lord and He's leading you and guiding you, and you haven't put your faith and trust in Him, then I pray today would be that day. But I also pray, knowing this, that there are many Christians walking around feeling torn. Because they know in their hearts there's more God wants them to do. But they won't do it. You know why? They lack faith. I'm not saying they lack saving faith. They lack faith to act on God's word. They lack faith to say, okay, God, I believe You can do it, and I'm even going to get nowhere where I'll let You push me. I'll do whatever it takes, because faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Lord, I'm going to give my heart and life to You, and wherever You lead me to go, I'll go. Not just saying it, but believing it and acting upon it. If we want to change this year, we have to act in faith. Some of us need to act in faith as far as salvation. Maybe there's someone here who knows that they're saved and have never been biblically baptized, and maybe today you need to act in faith and step out. Maybe there's someone here today who's been coming to this church and you're not a member of Wigan Baptist Church, and you need to act in faith and join the church. I don't know where you are in life, but I know this message was for every one of us today. We need to go from this place today living in faith, acting in faith, because without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Will you stand with me? Heavenly Father, as we go into this time of invitation, Lord, I thank You for Your word. I thank You for the challenges that it brings into our lives, Lord, because we often realize that somebody before us has been asked to do something great. And Lord, through their faith in You, Lord, You were able to accomplish great things in them and through them. And Lord, we want the same thing for ourselves today. Lord, first to be loved and experience the mercy and grace and forgiveness that You can bring to us, Lord, through salvation. But Lord, there's also a part of living out our faith, walking by faith. Lord, being pleasing in Your sight. Lord, I pray today that You would just help us to realize, Lord, that You want to do something in our lives. Lord, we just We just need to act in faith. We need to trust you and believe in you. Surrender our lives to you and your leading. Lord, I don't know what you want to do in our hearts today, but Lord, I pray that each and every one of us would respond in accordance to your will. Lord, that we would obey your guidance for us today. Lord, help us to act in faith. I pray in Jesus' name.